You know things are getting interesting when the Growler has its own website and a whole campaign called Save the Growler. We're going to talk about that and all things liquor, beer, alcohol with attorney Jeffrey O'Brien from the Lohman Law Firm. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Roshini. Good to be back.
Yeah, great to have you back. So first of all, let's just lay out the basics here because it can get kind of complicated. You have represented or you do represent some of the craft breweries. You also represent the other side of the issue sometimes too, right?
That's right. We represent, well, Lohman Abdo has, we call it our food, beverage, and leisure practice group. And I mean, included in that
sounds
is,
fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. When I'm not having fun with representing, you know, former Vikings, you know, being able to represent breweries, it's real tough work. But we represent about, I would say, 10 to 15 Minnesota craft breweries, some that are already open, some that are in that launch phase, still getting licensing, leases, financing, things like that. We have restaurants, we have bars, and then we have some advocacy groups for different laws, and we're part of some of the advocacy groups, too. Because there's always liquor law changes at the Capitol, and as of late, with the boom in craft breweries that you mentioned before the break, a lot of those law changes pertain to beer and with craft breweries and trying to harmonize what have been longstanding laws regarding the manufacture and sale and distribution of beer in this new era, this new model of the smaller manufacturer in Minnesota.
Well, and the thing is, there are lots of possible bills that could affect this industry. You've said the Sunday sales is probably dead right now, not something that they're looking at. So not something we have to there's probably not going to be a change anytime soon there.
Yeah, it's probably and the Sunday sales is kind of a separate issue from, you know, the breweries themselves. You know, we talk about a three-tiered distribution system. The breweries manufacture and sell to wholesalers. Wholesalers sell to bars, restaurants, liquor stores. And then those end up selling to the consumer. So Sunday sales is more of a consumer issue.
Okay.
Full disclosure, we're the attorneys for a group called Minnesota Beer Activists. They're the lead proponent of the Sunday sales change.
Okay.
So obviously, me personally, I'm for the change, but that's separate from the representation of the craft breweries. They're looking more on the manufacturer's level and dealing with some of the legal restrictions in terms of what they can do, and there are some exceptions to this general rule that do allow them to make some direct sales, and that's where the Growler comes in.
Right, and because a lot of these craft breweries, they want to be able to sell directly to the consumer, and that's what this is about,
yeah,
right?
In some regards. The craft breweries will sell to consumers directly in two aspects. Growlers, which when we talk about a growler, it's a 64-ounce bottle of beer that is filled directly right at the brewery. It's if you ask anybody that owns a brewery or works at a brewery, it's the freshest beer you can get because it's right from the brewery. They also now, as of 2 years ago, when they signed into law what became known as the Surly Bill, but it's, you know, the taproom law, which allows production breweries like some of our clients, Liftbridge, Indeed, Dangerous Man, to have in it an area in the brewery where they can actually sell a pint of beer to consumers directly. In the past, they could give out some samples, but they could never sell that. 2 years ago, that law changed. So now there's two source points of revenue directly for brewery to consumer sales, which is the growlers and the taproom sales.
So I'm not a real big beer drinker, and I'm technically not even supposed to drink beer due to some kind of health intolerances. But, you know, occasionally I'll have a sip. I have visited the Fulton Brewery, which is a very cool space, and would you call that kind of by the stadium, old stadium?
Yeah, by Target Field. Yeah,
by Target Field. And they do have that setup. I mean, they have a bar in there where you can directly get a pint or whatever, and then sometimes food trucks will be outside selling the food. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool setup where you can go right to Fulton Brewery, get that growler or get your pint or whatever it is. So this is one of the situations that is more recent because of these law changes,
That's
right?
That's right. That's right. Fulton was actually one of the earliest breweries to have the tap room. You know, Indeed has a similar setup where they have the food trucks that comes to the parking lot and you know you can order food. These are different from being a brew pub. We represent Northbound Smokehouse, which is down in Southeast Minneapolis. They're a brew pub. They serve food, beer, you know, make their own beer, and they also sell other beers and other kinds of liquor. These breweries are producing beer. Their main thing is they're producing beer for sale. sale. But they, as part of this, they will sell pints, and then they can have, like I said, they've partnered with different food trucks. You go like on Indeed's website, they have a calendar of what food trucks are going to be there on what night of the week. And it's kind of, and it's a really cool experience. And you watch people, you know, even in the wintertime, they'll be out in the parking lot grabbing food and coming in and sitting down and eating it. And these breweries make a lot of money on these taproom sales. So it was a, it's been a boom for the industry when the legislature made that change to allow them to establish taprooms.
I'm speaking with Jeffrey O'Brien. He is an attorney with the law firm of Lohman Abdo in Minneapolis. And we are talking about some of the different bills right now in front of the Minnesota legislature that could affect this industry. But ultimately, why I wanted to have Jeffrey on is because this could affect you, the end user, in a restaurant, in a store. So we wanted to talk about what that means. I want to take your questions and comments for Jeff. You can text us here in the studio at 81807 or give us a call at 651-989-9226. And we'll keep those phone and text lines open for about the next 15 minutes. So give us a buzz here. I want to get into the numbers on this, Jeff, because there are approximately 24 breweries in Minnesota operating right now with 2 to 3 times that number in the launch phase. So this is a huge number. This is very much, you know, small business growing, kind of a visual at its best, really. And so what I'm understanding from the brewery's side is that they look at something like an excise tax, which they're, correct me if I'm wrong, they get billed right at that manufacturing stage. They've got to front that money before they even get the revenue on it. And that's where it's really hard for them to grow.
That's correct.
It's not necessarily the 7 or 12 additional cents we might have to pay in the restaurant.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. This is, the, you know, there's a couple things that have been percolating at the Capitol. We talked about growlers a minute ago. Breweries have been constrained. Once you reach 3,500 barrels annually in terms of production, and a barrel is 31 gallons. Okay. It's a unit of measure. So when you get to a certain point in your growth stage, you can no longer sell growlers. So years ago, everybody knows Surly because, you know, they become very popular around here. There was a time when you could buy a growler at Surly. Surly went above the production limit, can no longer do that. So because there's so many of the breweries, Fulton, Liftbridge, Indeed, Surly, all these that are going to reach a point where they can no longer legally sell growlers under that cap, they've banded together and have lobbied the legislature to increase that cap. And so my understanding now is there are bills in the House and Senate, and they've both been included in the omnibus bill. It's going to raise the limit of production to 20,000 barrels. So if you're 20,000 and below, you're able to sell growlers. But they've kept it at, there was a provision that you could only sell 500 barrels in growler form. So they've maintained the quantity as to what you can sell. So they haven't taken they haven't expanded how much they can sell as growlers, but they've lifted the cap so that some of these breweries can grow to that next stage and still have the lifeblood of the brewery, which is the growler.
Right, and which could be a separate issue sometimes, yep, from the growler issue itself.
Exactly. And then now, so everything was in the legislature was kind of trending positively. We had the growler change was relatively non-controversial, got included in the omnibus bills, which the omnibus liquor bill, every session we have an omnibus liquor bill. They don't typically put controversial things in the omnibus liquor bill because if it's voted down, then that can cause a government shutdown. So it's in both the House and Senate, House File 1198, Senate File 860, if any political junkies that are listening want to follow them.
Jeff will tweet that later.
Yeah, but they will. But they're in the omnibus bill. So it looks like the growler law change. The growler is going to be saved. If you want to answer the question
a whole website, savethegrowler.org. So it's there. You can check it out and weigh in on that. We'll take a quick break. Open to your texts and questions for Jeff. Our text line 81807 and the phone line 651-989-9226. You're listening to News and Views on WCCO. We'll be right back.
Minnesota's official weather station is News Radio 830 WCCO.
Suspension and discipline gaps within Metro Public Schools. At 1:35, I'll have on some parent and community activists to get to the bottom of this subject. But right now, we're talking alcohol. Jeffrey O'Brien is in studio from the Lohman Abdo Law Firm. I'm wondering, what would it take for you to stop ordering that second drink or whatever number How would it affect your pocketbook? What would it need to get to? Send me a text at 81807 or call us 651-989-9226. Jeff, I want to talk about this whole excise tax thing. What does that even mean? So the Minnesota legislature is looking at that, imposing it on, is it the breweries?
Correct. Correct. It's the excise tax is and there's a lot of confusion about this right now because there's some people have commented that it amounts to a 7 cents a glass or 14 cents a glass. It is a tax at the manufacturer level. And right now, breweries in Minnesota have to pay $4.60 a barrel in excise tax for every barrel that they produce. The Senate has not voted on their version yet. The House has, and they have proposed a $27.75 a barrel excise tax. So that's a pretty steep increase in the excise tax on the manufacture of beer. And it is going to get, in terms of what the consumers feel, it is going to get passed down. I mean, you start to increase taxes, obviously a brewery isn't just financially able to absorb all of that. They're going to pass it on to the cost that they sell that beer to their wholesalers, which will then get passed down to the next point, the bars and restaurants and liquor stores, and ultimately it'll get passed down in some form to the consumer. So it will, the prices will increase up, all along the chain in our manufacturing and distribution system.
So, Jeff, where do you see the governor weighing in on all this? He said he really doesn't want more taxes on the middle class.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the Star Tribune has a story today where he was drawing the line on the clothing tax and said, no, he's absolutely not. No increase in taxes on the middle class. But it said he's open to cigarette and alcohol taxes. Everybody likes to go after these as sin taxes. They want to tax alcohol and tobacco, thinking that they're going to discourage somebody from doing that activity. But this isn't a tax. This isn't really a sin tax. It's a tax on the manufacturer, and this has become a very big economic engine in a lot of urban centers in Minnesota. Minneapolis has a ton of these craft breweries. St. Paul is developing more. Duluth has a number of them. Liftbridge is out in Stillwater. Lucid is out in Excelsior. They're starting to move out into the suburbs as well.
It's sort of interesting to see the economic, possibilities that are there then for the community around it.
That's exactly right. It's what you see is a lot of folks that it means jobs. You have a lot of these breweries start out, might be somebody, doing home brewing as a hobby. And they decide, hey, I'm going to be my own boss and start a brewery. And there's enough, people supportive of that, willing to invest in it, willing to support it financially by buying the product. And that's, it's really been a big boom for this area. And, it's interesting. We're talking about, how many there are. And, I think I gave you the number of about two dozen probably open and 2 to 3 times that many possibly opening. You think about it. At one time before Prohibition, Minnesota had over 200 breweries.
Really?
Yeah. If any beer junkies listening, and I'll give a free plug here, Doug Hoverson wrote a great book called The Land of Amber Waters, and it goes through the entire history of beer in Minnesota. And he's got, you go through there and you can find out what breweries were in your area at one time or are in your area. It's a few years old now. But yeah, there were, pre-Prohibition, there were over 200.
Well, I bet it would just be interesting. Well, I'll give our listeners a chance to plug their favorites. Send me a text with your favorite local brewery. 81807 is our text. And if you have a question for Jeff, you're also welcome to call 651-989-9226. So, what ends up happening with the next layers here? So you said both the House and Senate, it's in this omnibus bill. And, what's next?
Well, the House and Senate, they each passed their own bills, all their different budget bills and tax bills. And then they'll have conference committees and reconcile everything.
Yep.
And they'll come up with a final conference committee report, conference version to send to the governor. And the governor will have the ultimate say as to what is going to be approved or not. So right now, the Senate has not yet voted on the excise tax. So those of you listening that want to weigh in here, contact your state senator and with your thoughts as to whether or not you support it or oppose it. and then ultimately the governor as well. And the House is going to have to come back and vote on the conference report. So you want to contact your House member as well. But this is the time where, you know, this is democracy at work. If you're a consumer, if you're a craft beer fan, the breweries have come out, and from everybody from Summit to, you know, to others, have said they do not support this tax. So if you want to stand up for your favorite beer, favorite brewery, get on the phone and contact your legislators.
Well, Matt Baer has made a comment on my Facebook wall. He's getting into mostly the Sunday sales issue. And so I won't get into everything that he's writing in here. But he's making some comparisons with, you know, people being able to pick up prescriptions on Sundays. Why not this? And then when you've got a holiday following on a Monday, that, you know, in turn just means more days where alcohol is not being sold.
Sure.
In
well, we could talk about Sunday sales. Like I said, we represent Minnesota beer activists, and they're the leading consumer advocacy group that's been pushing for Sunday sales. There's still a lot of special interests opposing Sunday sales. A lot of the independent liquor stores, some of more and more coming out in favor of it, but there are a number of them that have opposed it. Municipal liquor stores have been opposing it. And part of the concern is, and you can say it's valid or not, is there, you know, right now in Minnesota, you cannot buy liquor in a grocery store. Okay. And their fear is that if this is allowed, you know, they don't necessarily want to open on Sundays, but if you let the grocery stores ultimately sell it, then it's going to just kind of put them out of existence. I'm not a big fan of that argument.
It's kind of old, because they're saying they're going to put some of the mom and pop liquor stores out of business if they're selling in grocery stores on a Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't see why there's a problem saying, nobody's saying you have to open on Sunday. They're just wanting to give those liquor stores that want to open the option to open on Sunday. And those that say they don't want to do more than 6 days a week, well, you know, they can always take off a Monday or a Tuesday or something like that. But it's one of those one of those laws that started out as what they call a blue law, right? It was passed, no Sunday sales, because Sunday's, you know, holy day or whatever. We don't want to be selling alcohol and consuming alcohol on church day. But over time, it's become less about that and more about protecting special interest.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff O'Brien, thanks so much from the Loma Abdo Law Firm. As always, you enlighten us on these subjects, and definitely keep us posted, because this argument is not over. And these lobbies are very, very strong forces, powerful interests at the Capitol, talking to the different legislators. So you'll have to update us.
I will absolutely do that. And thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more legislative action with Bill Salisbury. He is political reporter from the Pioneer Press. He'll be on after the news around 1:06. And then I'm so excited to welcome Sean Kershaw, director of the Citizens League, into the studio. The league is celebrating its 60th anniversary. You'll find out all the really cool things it has done for the state of Minnesota. You're listening to News and Views. I'm Rashini Rajkumar with you. Thanks for spending part of your Sunday with me and WCCO Radio. We'll be back.